Hello, it is July 7th, 2014. This is episode 437 of the Wheelies Experience podcast on Sports and Earth. You are looking live at Athens, Georgia. I'm Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. We kick off the new format day. We are officially saying goodbye, death, if you will, to the death of the day. We kick off trivia to remind how this is going to work. We do a regular podcast. We have one guest a week. That show will run usually on Mondays. We'll do a full interview like we usually do. And then the rest of the week, we will start a weekly trivia contest. It's the best way to do trivia. Otherwise, it's just random questions being answered and asked. The compile is a total of... How many points is it total? Let's see. I got them right here. 180? 200? 200. 200 points. It's a total of 200 points. We'll compile all the guests. They'll compete against each other. I will write different questions every week. There's four different categories. We'll explain what those are in future broadcasts, but they will run throughout the week. So there'll be a Tuesday, one fill 5 or 10 minute interview of trivia. Wednesday, same. Thursday, same. Friday, same. It, trust me, as a fan of trivia podcasts, it's a fun thing to yell answers at the foolish guests, which is always fun for me as the host. Anyway, so first, today, though, is Monday, and we will be doing the interview. And then after that's over, I will do. I will shut this off. You will. I will say goodbye to you, and then Seth and I, today's guests, give it away. We'll do kick off the trivia thing. We'll see how it works. Please let me know if you like it or if you don't. I guess you really won't know until tomorrow. Anyway, today's guest is Seth Rosenthal. He is a purveyor of postingandtoasting.com, the best Knicks blog in the world, and a writer for SB Nation. He's going to talk to me about matters Carmelo, LeBron, and all sorts of other crazy NBA free agency exhaustion. All right, Seth, first off, thank you for joining me. It has been, I feel like I always want to have you on like every week. So I feel like it's only been like a few months, but I've missed you. So thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me. It feels like you only have me on when I'm feeling very tense and nervous about it.
Yeah, probably because I'm feeling the same way. And I'm like, Seth will help. This is actually, I've mentioned this to you before, but you know, generally speaking, Posting and Toasting does a really great job of making me feel like less of a stupid person for rooting for the Knicks. Like it just like, even, I mean, cause it's stupid to root for the Knicks. Like it's just like, it, I think it's objectively like painful to oneself and not so much, not in losing like the same way, like, oh, it's tough to root for Cleveland sports teams. I mean, it's tough to root for Dolan, really, and just and on all that comes with that. So there's been this hope that, you know, this is going to change and so on. And you remind me that, like, there's so much negativity with MSG for years and years, and with the media, the way they cover it. You always remind me that, like, you know what, watching sports is actually fun, and just remember that's what it's for. So how are you hanging in now in Carmelo? First off, before we even get into the discussion of it, as a fan of the team, as things setting up long term, do you want them to bring back Carmelo?
You know, obviously there are more layers and contingencies to it than that, but
I'm not asking in a front back page New York Post way. I'm saying adding in everything else with the movements they'll be able to make. Do you think it's a good idea?
I mean, I think most Knicks fans agree that if Carmelo Anthony would be willing to come back at a, and this is a vague term, but at a meaningful discount, mm-hmm. you know, enough that he would essentially be paying another player or two, then that would be pretty fair and reasonable to all parties. He's been great as a Knick, and it's hard not to want him to come back. And then at the other end of the spectrum is the prospect of Melo coming back for a maximum salary. And being really one of the top, it must be two or three paid players in the NBA when it's very, well, fairly unlikely that he'll reach that potential, you know, over the next 5 years of his contract. So sometimes I just, you know, I just want Melo back. I just enjoyed watching him, and no team is going to be perfect. And we've already seen them put together, you know, a pretty good team before with him making a huge chunk of the team salary, and they would have the opportunity to do that with other guys expiring and, you know, a little more space than they had in 2013. That's me part of the time. And then the other part of the time is, you know, Phil Jackson's in charge now. It seems like he's taking a careful but a stance against Melo taking the max. At least it seemed that way a few days ago. And if Melo really, isn't willing to chip a few million dollars off of his admittedly collectively bargained right to make a max salary, if he isn't willing to do that for the team and would rather, pursue that goal elsewhere, then I'm interested to see how Phil Jackson would rebuild, and that is also appealing. It really does. I see virtue in pretty much any outcome.
Well, it's funny, because this has become a thing with the union. Sean Devaney from Sporting News had a big thing about this morning about how the union is starting to be like, "Hey guys, about the taking less money than we worked really, really
Yeah.
hard to fight for you guys to get." And I feel like there's something to that. There. It feels like once again, even though this has all been collectively bargained, it still feels like the onus is Carmelo and even LeBron, who I think if there's anyone worthy of a max salary, it's him. There's this notion that somehow they don't care enough about winning if they don't somehow take less. And it's funny because as a collective fan of the NBA, I'm like, yeah, that's bullshit. But as a Knicks fan, I'm like, seriously, I need you to take less.
Right, that's exactly how it is for me. That, this is an important battle for the whole union, and in the lockout, there is X amount of money available to NBA people, and they fought for every dollar that they could get of that, and I think they deserve it because they are the talent. And Melo is one of the guys who gets to take a big chunk of salary, and yeah, I really he has that right, and I really can hold nothing against him for pursuing it, but I want the Knicks to be good. Most, I care more about the Knicks than I do about Melo. And so we have different priorities there. And yeah, I really would love to see him take a little less than his collectively bargained maximum for that reason. And I think part of it for everyone, part of the reason we're even talking about this is whether it was a mistake or not, right before the All-Star break. I believe it was February 14th, since I've looked back. People asked Carmelo Anthony about the possibility of taking a pay cut in the future before Phil Jackson was ever involved. And he said pretty definitively, yeah, if I thought it could, improve the flexibility of the team, I would take a pay cut. And it would. That's the case we're in.
So outside, first off, okay, outside of Carmelo, what do you think of what Jackson's done so far? Have you been pretty pleased with it? Are there things you question? Do you feel that he, how do you feel like he's done?
Well, he's only done so much. It was really the Jose Calderon trade and then the subsequent draft picking. The trade that he made was, I think, moderately good both in the future where Melo leaves and the future where he stays. I think, people got, me included, got a little bit grumpy about taking on Jose Calderon's salary because the idea is to just clear tons and tons of space. But, salary is for paying basketball players eventually.
All
And
right.
Jose Calderon is, he's a bad defensive player, but I think he really fits the triangle nicely, as a guy who's really one of the best shooters in the league right now. He's a solid point guard, can run a pick and roll if you need him to. And so I don't really think it's the end of the world to tie up a little bit of future salary for a guy who, he's not young, but he's not going to be over the hill by the end of his contract, and he can play basketball. And I think there's a tendency to become enamored with these huge, simultaneous, just gaping holes of cap space, but it's actually sensible to stagger your cap space a bit, and so have your contracts expire at different times, so you have sort of a rolling, magazine of options. And so in that case, I think Jose Calderon's good, and I'm not that put off by the fact that they're going to continue paying him. And as someone who loves the draft, I'm thrilled that they got some picks. They're just second rounders, so it's not a, there's not a ton of pressure on them. But it does seem like Cleanthony really seems like not the guy I would have picked, but he's a competent player and someone who could fit, and someone who should get a lot of opportunities if Melo does leave. And they took some shots with the latter picks, and I'm pretty happy with the way things have gone so far.
I find myself Not because I agree with you. I like Carmelo as a Knick. I think he takes it's kind of that typical superstar bias, the idea that like if he is the best player on the court by a factor of several hundred and but they lose, it's his fault. You know,
Right.
it's always that kind of idea. But that said, it does there is as someone that's still, and I will claim this to the end of my days, that if they had just left Donnie Walsh and Mike D'Antoni alone, like I'm still one of those old truthers in a lot of ways. I to me there seems a lot of appeal to, because it does feel like they get themselves in situations like they were last year because they don't follow things through, and it feels like if you sign Carmelo to a max salary, it feels like you're repeating the problem. It's not, and that's nothing. It's not Carmelo's fault, but it feels like. Like you really do have to, if you even look at what's going on with the Heat, and I want to talk about LeBron a little bit. The going on with the Heat, it's becoming more and more clear that this notion of let's clear out a bunch of cap space and get the three superstars to work together is, I mean, it's if even if it works, it only works very briefly, and then just barely, and then if you only have LeBron James, so I feel like part of me just wants them to just clear it out,
Yeah, I and it's weird to say, but I have enough trust, and it's not based on that much, but I have enough trust in the Knicks front office right now that pretty much no matter what happens, I'll bite my tongue and wait to see what follows. And I do think, like you said, I think clearing, just letting Melo walk, I think probably waiting a year and just sucking for a whole season. Wouldn't be out of the world. I think they can build something pretty good out of that.
But of course, then I think, but I think they might have before, and this is what I argued when Jackson was hired, is this always starts with Dolan being like, "I'm leaving you guys alone, don't worry about it, you're on it," and then the shiny toy comes in front of his face, and then he has to
Right.
have it, and then we have to start over.
I mean, listen, if Dolan were butting his nose into this process with Melo, which, in the past is absolutely something he would have gotten into, we would have heard about it. People are really looking for that. They want Dolan to interfere, and they want to tell us about it. And so far, it sounds like the Knicks flew out to LA to meet Melo. The Knicks have really, it's been an active process, and Dolan has not touched it. That's what we're being told anyway. And again, I think if it were different, we would be told that also.
And so I'd heard a couple rumblings that maybe the notion that there was some confusion as to whether they gave out a max and whether they didn't, like, if, like, because apparently it was reported widely that yes, now they are going to offer him the max, and is but then Jackson seemed to back down from that a little bit. Is it clear that he has been offered the max?
No, it's unclear. And everything that is unclear and confusing or seems like it doesn't make sense to me is something that should be questioned, because people use reporters to put stuff out there and to try and convince fans of things, and to try and convince, the party on the other side of the table of things. So the stuff about the Knicks, offering a max contract or not offering a max contract, or Melo, being into the Lakers or not being into the Lakers, or being offended by the fact that the Knicks didn't offer him the max. There are too many, I said this, I think, in writing at some point, but we've reached the point where if you, in your head, have a particular narrative about how this is going down, you can find reports that will confirm it, no matter what it is.
That's good.
So,
That's good. I kind of like it. It's like on demand.
right, exactly. It's choose your own adventure. Melo is a selfish baby who only wants money, or Melo is a team player who's about to take a pay cut. You can find it if you want to find it.
So I'm one nice thing I will say about this, and this may seem a strange kind of concept because having LeBron James on your team is awesome. I'm kind of glad that LeBron is not like the LeBron headache now. Knicks fans, it's not our problem now.
Yeah, like you said, it would be great to be pursuing the best player in the game, but it's also kind of fun to not have to worry about that. Although, you never know.
Oh, God.
I'm not saying the Knicks have any shot of getting LeBron, but I am absolutely saying that someone could make that a rumor at some point soon.
Well, I saw, because you're doing stuff. You're stuff for SB Nation now. You do a lot of stuff for Look at their site. And you had a thing this morning, or excuse me, yesterday about we've reached the point. I wrote my column this morning about Chris Broussard's. Hey, just answers are blowing in the wind. I'm just saying. I think I'm hearing. I'm guessing Cleveland, which is frankly exactly what Stephen A. Smith did 4 years
Yeah.
ago. That everyone has completely forgotten. That's back when Stephen A. Smith was at Fox Sports and he's kind of in this weird part of his career. And he was like, "No, I've heard that he's coming." And then my favorite thing was Stephen A. Smith right before the decision aired, said, "Wait, I'm starting to hear some conflicting information. Maybe it's not Miami." And then of course nobody remembers that. And
Right.
I feel like that we've reached that point where people are just throwing shit out there. People are following planes and
Yeah.
so on. And I have to say, I find this not actually fun.
No, I would definitely find it less fun if I felt like I were responsible for keeping perfect track of the LeBron stuff.
Right.
The plane stuff is pretty funny. I mean, it gets so ridiculous that it's hard not to enjoy at least some part of it, even in a kind of sick way. But yeah, there were definitely people on FlightAware looking up, where Dan Gilbert's whatever LLC was addressed, and if the plane matched, and lining up where the plane had been to where the Cavs and free agent pursuits had landed. And it sounds like people were right. They were actually onto something, that whether or not Gilbert was on it, the plane flew to Fort Lauderdale on Sunday, maybe alone. The plane just wanted to see what LeBron was up to. No one was actually in it.
By the way, while we've been doing this, because generally speaking, I just to keep myself sane in this regard, I'm pretty much just like, all right, I'll just wait till Woj tells me something. Like as a general rule, unless of course it involves specifically the Garden, because he gets so crazy about the Garden sometimes. But even when he's right, still just feels, I don't know, he feels so angry about it. But like, this is of course is coming this morning about how apparently James' agent wants him to go to Cleveland, and it feels the whole thing that feels strange to me. And again, Barry Petrowski at Deadspin found that the letter was still up until last night, the Comic Sans
Yeah,
letter,
that's it down.
which I thought was hilarious. Like that is that I don't know who. You and I, we spent some time working on the internet. It feels like someone in the Cavs office should have taken care of that by now. But I don't know. It does. I guess it just. Do you, when you follow all of this and you see it all, like, do you take any stock in anything anymore? Like it's strange how now there's a third level of things that are reported. There's news. Which is news. There's rumors, which we used to blast, and actually, I generally kind of find fun. And now there's literally just, at best, we call it intuition.
Right.
At worst, we'll just call it, Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like that. Well, that's one of the many things that the web just kind of makes. It makes it not that much fun to follow. I'm sorry. It's hard for me in that way.
Yeah, it's, and I think, well, I fall into this sometimes myself, but people get pretty bad at following it. Just, I think the internet magnifies the voices of people who haven't quite learned how to discern stuff that is funny but doesn't ultimately matter from
Right.
stuff that is actually meaningful. And if anything, you were talking about Broussard before, and I'm not a fan of Broussard's reporting and generally, want to wait for someone else to confirm anything he says. But the stuff he was saying about Cleveland, and saying I don't have enough sources on this to report it, but this is what I'm hearing. I didn't really mind that. I thought that was kind of fair because he's in a position, and I've only had a taste of this world, but these people just chatter and chatter and chatter. And so you like to think that as a reporter, he and everyone else will double check things and check with multiple parties and really confirm stuff before they're going to put it in an article. But he's hearing stuff, and everybody is. And even if they're not reporting it, I think if you can really pass it off as this is just what's out there, and it's there's so much crap and so much noise, but if you're wondering what someone in my position is hearing, this is it. I don't know, I wasn't quite as offended by that as everyone else, because he at least identified it as this is not something I'm going to report, but this is out there.
Well, I'll say I could have done without the gay men or abomination hashtag. I'll just put that. I'll just throw that out there. I could have
That's
done
fair.
without that. I could have done without that. So I'm curious, what are you, as a fan of the NBA, what would you actually like to see LeBron do?
Go back to Cleveland. That'd be hilarious. And I think, I mean, as a fan of the Knicks too, I think, so that team would take a little time to coalesce. And so the East would be a little bit more open, if Melo were to return and all that. But yeah, it would just make everyone's heads explode. And I'm at a point in my sports viewing career where I wouldn't mind seeing some heads explode over LeBron moving again.
Yeah, I guess this is the point where we reach that we just need enough of a rush. Like now we
Yes.
have
Just to
it.
feel again.
I know. We need. Okay, and he has to play exclusively while walking on his hands. Like
Yeah.
that's what I need to see. with a cute dog, and I guess we've reached that point in a lot of ways. Yeah, I feel like I guess that makes sense. I see that. If Carmelo doesn't, if you're Carmelo, I'm curious. Money being money, what would you do?
If I were Carmelo Anthony, man, I've thought about this a lot, to be honest. I really like to think that I would turn down just a few million dollars out of over 100 to come back to the Knicks and try and win a championship. But the question is, am I Carmelo Anthony with Carmelo Anthony's work ethic and drive to win and just comprehension of what it's like to be talented, or am I me? Because actual me just sort of plopped into Carmelo Anthony's body would just take the cash. It would just go, hey, whoever's paying me the most. This wouldn't even
Well,
be a consideration.
to be fair, Carmelo Anthony did not grow up a Knicks fan.
Carmelo Anthony did not grow up a Knicks fan. Carmelo Anthony did not grow up, with means. When he was a kid, it's I will never pass judgment on someone for pursuing whatever it is that makes them happy if it's available to them in that realm. But I do think about, what if it were me? And it depends how much how where the blend between my own, memory and psyche and Mellows begins and ends in this hypothetical situation. But I do think about it a lot, and I don't know. I think I would probably just take the money.
So I guess it depends on too whether we're talking about like what how huge how massive the transfer of your psyches are. Like if it is
Right.
if it's merely face off,
Yeah.
then I think you each of you will be found out fairly quickly.
But we're gonna need a full skeleton off. Just giving me Melo's face would just create a pudgy 5'10" person
So
with
I'm thinking, yeah, I'm thinking like maybe all of me and Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin. Like if you
Yeah.
get a full mind switch is what we're
Yeah.
talking
A Freaky Friday situation.
about. Exactly. All of Me is a good movie. No one ever talks about All of Me. So if what would be the first thing you'd want to do if Carmelo does decide to go? It's fine. I love the idea of the Lakers. Like that still feels like the craziest. I remember the starters had a poll before the season last year. I think they've had this poll for the last 3 years, actually, of who will shoot more, Kobe or Carmelo. And so the idea of those guys on the same team has a certain kind of, I guess, in that notion of LeBron walking on his hands, that does sound like a certain kind of thing that would be fun to watch.
Make people's heads explode.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, like, if he does go take that offer, or if he does go to Houston, which I think actually, I still feel like the Bulls makes like a ton of sense. But if he does leave. Are you then you're like, okay, let's clear it all out. Are we in cleared out mode?
Sure. I mean, well, there are different flavors of leaving, obviously. If he goes to Chicago or I think also Houston, unless something changes there, the Knicks are getting stuff back.
Right.
And I think they would probably seek a return package that fits into the cleared out plan where it's picks and rights and expiring contracts, a nice little Carlos Boozer for a year. So, yeah, if he walks for nothing, I don't think I would, immediately like trade Jose Calderon and try and tank as hard as possible. But I don't think and I don't think the Knicks would make a major investment in winning in, 14-15. Because Amari is going to be off the books next year and because Bargnani is going to be off the books next year. I don't think that would be. I just don't see any non-Melo situation in which next year is a year where they're going to push really hard to win. They're not going to, players don't tank, but I don't think the team would make any more investments on winning immediately. And I would.
And my last thing for you on the Knicks, what do you think of Derek Fisher so far? Have you been able to tell anything?
I mean, he's sort of just faded. Like, I've completely forgotten that that's a thing and a big deal,
Right.
exciting and interesting. So the last real exposure we had to him was his introductory press conference, which I don't know if you watched, was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That got you ready to run through a wall for that guy. He's a good speaker. He's obviously a very smart guy. And I'm most excited about the fact. I think there is an unorthodox setup that the Knicks are going to have, where Derek Fisher took his job understanding that he's going to have someone pulling strings, that he is not, in the way that Phil Jackson is supposed to be, he's not totally autonomous. And I would like to think that he was chosen because he fits into that, and he already has a good relationship with Phil Jackson, and he is amenable to to a little bit of puppetry. But obviously, any relationship like that has the potential to combust. It's just interesting and different in that not only are the coach and GM or president on the same page in a way that they haven't been in past. Ill-fated Knicks regimes, but they're like really one. They're really going to be working together on the floor. Fisher, from the sound of things, will sort of be Jackson's surrogate. So it's like the Knicks have always had a problem with the coach and the management not being on the same page, pretty much for the last four or five coaches, except for the moment when Isaiah Thomas was both, and things were terrible. But so I think they've not only found a coach and GM on the same page, but they've pushed it even further, and they have a really unusual arrangement that I think is interesting and, for me, pretty exciting so far, I guess, because nothing bad has happened
Until next year, when of course Fisher demands to be GM and coach, and
Right, and
all
then
that
sits
happens.
there in Milwaukee.
I'm curious, do you keep a closer eye on Brooklyn? I always want to ask you this. Do you like I find as a Knicks fan, like when I lived in New York, obviously I moved, but like I kept a closer eye on the Nets just because I lived by them. But I would say now that I've left and I don't live by there, I mostly I don't find that being the rivalry everyone kind of wants it to be.
Well, I come from a different perspective on this because I don't know if this is because I grew up in New Jersey, but I've hated the Nets for my entire life.
Right.
I've really always hated the Nets. So I've kept a close eye on them since, the time they were terrible, the time that they were much better than the Knicks and beat up on them. That the rivalry in my own heart is a little more personal. I keep an eye on the Nets because I hate them. Because I really enjoy a couple of the blogs that write about them. And yeah, because they're in the division the same way I would keep an eye on the Raptors or the Celtics or whoever. I don't think it feels like, an on-court rivalry the way, the Knicks and Heat were or anything like
Right.
that. For the obvious reasons, there hasn't been a playoff series. And I think just on a more basic level, just the teams are in so much flux that it's hard for any genuine interpersonal beef to really develop. But yeah, I keep an eye on the Nets, and like I said, I've always kept an eye on the Nets because I hate them.
That's the reason to have their eye on them. Okay, my last question before we wrap up for this. But in our pre-trivia, and I'm sorry, but you're the guinea pig for this. But we'll look into that for a second.
That's okay.
What do you think is going to happen with Carmelo and LeBron?
And LeBron, wow. Okay, I think Carmelo Anthony is going to stay, and I would have told you this before pretty much everything. I think Carmelo Anthony is going to stay with the Knicks for a relatively small cut below the maximum contract, like $120 million over
A
5 years
face
or
saving,
something
a
like
face
that.
saving. Right.
Right, yeah, more of a cut for appearances. And I think LeBron will just go back to the Heat. I don't know about contract stuff because I don't really pay attention to what the money situation is, but I think he'll just go back.
All right. Well, we will see how it turns out. It is a delight as always to talk to you. Now, what we're going to do here is we're going to wrap up, and I'm going to give the hey everyone, check out Seth was on Twitter and so on and so on. And then we're gonna pause, and then I'm gonna call you back, and we're gonna do our trivia now. But because we're just gonna be going straight into the trivia, I feel like we need to discuss it now. I apologize to you personally for the fact that you are my guinea pig on this.
I'm quite all right. I'm not going to do well. I can tell you in advance.
Okay, well, I mean,
That's
that's okay. That's okay.
fine
I
with me too. I don't mind.
made the questions hard so you'll have a backup for it. Like,
Okay.
oh, Will's a dick. He made the questions too hard.
I don't mind embarrassing myself. It's okay.
Okay, good. Okay, in that
Okay.
case, then sing. All right. Well, thank you for your time, sir. Make sure to check out Seth's stuff on postingandtoasting.com and on SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at Seth underscore Rosenthal, SETH underscore ROSENTHAL. This has been the Willich Experience Podcast. The music is by the Sundogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes. Seth, I will see you quote unquote tomorrow
Yes.
for to do to do trivia.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks, man. I'll talk to you and everyone else, quote unquote, tomorrow.